Well, it's really good to be here and so lovely to see new faces. I praise God for that, that he is growing his church. So we think that's absolutely wonderful. And thank you to Andrew and Karis for inviting us to come and share with you today. We can't do what we do out there without knowing that we've got a praying body behind us, people who love us, people who are thinking of us and who are praying for us and keeping us going over there. So we do thank you all, and for all who aren't here today, we just thank you all very much for your love for us. The things that we do out there are a lot of it is because of our different skill sets that God has given us. So I deal with people and John deals with things. Anytime you want to chip in. So I deal with the people that come knocking on the door looking for school fees, or deal with the manager when I've got to say maybe something's not quite right. And John mends everything that goes wrong. So it is a wonderful combination of skill sets that God has put together, which work well out there together, well, work anywhere well together. And it's funny, because when I was looking for a husband yonks ago, I was looking for someone that was perhaps a bit like me. Well, that would have been absolutely dire if God had brought along somebody like me. So he brought along a complete opposite. But that is God's plan, and that has worked, and that is working, because God is there in the midst, and we just thank him and praise him for that. And we obviously face many challenges out there. One of the most recent challenges we've faced has been the wet season, the rain. It has rained and rained and rained right through the dry season, from wet season back to wet season. And everything is covered in water. The lake has risen nearly 4 feet. So there will be some islands that will have been completely washed away, hidden. And where the boat comes in to collect us, they've had to keep shifting the steps onto the boat because the water level has risen. And on the mainland side, the water has come right up. If you're able to come to our presentation, which is on Tuesday, the 18th of June in Hereford, you will see pictures of the water that has come right up, feet in from the where the lake should be. So that has been quite a challenge. To get off our land, the road has been quite damaged by the rain and by the trucks that use it. And so that is difficult. I want to try and do lots of walking, because I spend so much time sat at my computer that I want to be able to do walking. But the rain has made the roads so wet that it's very, because it's all mud roads where we are, very, very difficult. So we bought an exercise bike so that I could do it in the house. Great. Except I've gone and damaged my muscles here in my hip doing too much on the exercise bike. So that's I've got to watch and get that sorted out. But we often get people come knocking at the door looking for help with school fees. Some were able to help. Most of them we have to send away, because we only have so much funding in that we can help so many children. I mean, it is one of the main things that we do out there, which is to support children whose families can't afford to pay their school fees, because unlike here in UK, they don't have free education, although they say they have free education, but it really isn't. You know, you don't always know when people come just out of the blue whether they're genuine or whether, in fact, they could afford to pay their school fees. So sometimes we try and do a check with somebody who knows the village to see if they really do need help. But we have one new school that we've added just a few months ago, which is down in the the landing site where the ship comes in. And it's a very poor little school with hardly any room for classrooms, or they've got about 50 children there. And they've got some teachers that they've brought over from Kampala, and they're having to pay them sort of Kampala rates to keep them. Well, of course, the children in the village have got no money. The families there are very, very poor. And so they're really struggling to try and keep this going. But God has enabled us through one or two gifts that we've been given to be able to help that school and give it a lift up. So that's been quite exciting that we've been able to help this new school. Do you want to say something?
Go on. Now, I think our life out there is great. It really is, because we're dependent on God. And we're just a conduit. It's not about us. People give us money. It passes through, goes straight to where it's needed. God's given us the ability to discern and check things out. Most of the time, we get it right. Sometimes, we get scammed like anybody, because there's always somebody in need and always somebody trying to make a fast buck. But by the grace of God, we've seen some tremendous changes in people's lives. We've impacted lives. We've been doing this for over 20 years now. Had a call last week. My mechanic, his wife was having a baby. He'd raised some money for the hospital fees, and they said the baby's too big. We'll have to do a C-section. Then they took her in 10 days early, did the C-section. He got a bill for 450 quid. Hadn't got the money. What do you do? She's in the hospital. They've done the operation. They've saved the wife's life, the baby's life. And then they hold them ransom until the fees are paid. And, of course, they're just accruing bills and bills. So we get a desperate call. We need some money. Can you help us out? And by the grace of God, you know, we had the money and we were able to say, there you go. And it's often like that. We have to respond at the time. You know, we can't just put out an appeal and like, oh, you know, in 2 or 3 weeks' time, we're going to have this. It happens, and God says, will you stand in the gap? Will you meet this need? And you know, it's not all about the money. It's not all about the works. It's also about ministry. You know, we do a lot of preaching. We do a lot of teaching of the word, going out into churches. We do crusades. We do conferences, Kenya, Tanzania. And God's been so gracious to us. He's opening doors. He's continuing to open doors. And we get into a conversation on the boat, and the next thing you know, we're getting invited to a church. Oh, we heard you speaking. You're carrying the word of God. You must come. And you're like, what? Who are we? God has given us such favor and opened so many doors. And very much it's, but we're just John and Sue. We've always been John and Sue. We've never been any different. We don't want to be any different. And it's like, oh, but you are great teachers. I go, no, we're not.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, God has used us. God has been so gracious in enabling us to be able to bless the people of Uganda with the truth of the word of God. Amen. Because a lot of the pastors out there don't know the Bible that well. They're very good at preaching and shouting and all the rest of it, but they're not very good at teaching what the Bible actually says. And that's where God is using us. And one of the things that I felt that he was talking to us about was about obedience. When God first called us to go to Uganda, which was back in 2001, we had to be obedient to that call. So we had to hear that call. So that means we had to be listening to the voice of God. And that is a challenge for all of us, that we listen, that we hear, and that we act on what God is saying to us. And so we thank him that he has spoken to us and we have heard. And we are constantly trying to make sure that we're in that place where we're listening to God, we hear what he says, and then we can act on it and bring his word to people and bring freedom to people, to bring release to people, and to bring help into their understanding. But we have to put ourselves in that position. We have to come before God and allow him to speak into our lives. You know, Holy Spirit, just show us where we should be, what we should be saying, what we should be doing. We need the Lord, we need the Holy Spirit. And we thank God that the Bible tells us that the whole of the Godhead dwells within us. Isn't that amazing? I still think that is just so amazing, that Father God, Holy Spirit, Jesus live inside each one of us. When we ask Jesus into our lives, whoosh, they come and they reside, because that's where they want to be, because we're their family, we're their children, and they want to draw us along with them. They want us to see what is happening in heaven. You know, there is a door open in heaven. Come up here, I want to show you stuff. That's God's word to us all. You know, come up here. Come and see what is to come. Come and see what I've got for you. You know, in the Lord's Prayer we pray, Lord, you know, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And a verse that God has given me over and over again is in Isaiah 22:22, where it says, you know, that he's given us the keys to the kingdom, that what we open, no man can shut, and what we close, no man can open. You know, God has given us keys. He has given us all keys to various situations, and that we need to be a people who believe that, and that we will open doors and know that no one can shut, because it's God's door that we've opened. Amen? And, you know, that we've got to trust in God and believe in God and have faith that the things that he shows us, he will do. I mean, just coming back to since we've been here, yesterday our car collapsed, basically.
Died.
And obviously we are relying on a car to get us around, because we've got to see family and friends and all sorts of places we've got to go before we go back to Uganda. We desperately need a car. So John took it to the garage, and first of all he thought it was just the plugs, and then he discovered it was the cylinder, engine.
Yeah, yep. Cylinder's correct.
So
gone.
We've got to get a new car. And then, as John was phoning me and telling me that this was the sad news, I see on Facebook, Mo Collins has got a car for sale. I thought, oh, thank you, Father. So I try to find out some information about that, which eventually I find that she's already sold it. So, okay. But then we get a message from Murray, who says, I've got a spare car at the moment. You can borrow it for a few days so you can look around to find a car. So God has provided, and almost without us having to pray for it, you know, because he knows what we need. Before it's on our lips, he knows, and he has provided. You know, our God is a good God. We never need to face any situation and think, oh, what am I going to do? Because God is with us. God is in us, and he has the answer. Like he's got the answer for the general election. We don't know what it is, but he does. And so we have to trust him. And I was thinking of various people in the Bible and how they had responded to God's word. When Moses saw the burning bush, and God spoke to him out of the bush and then said to him that he was going to send him to Egypt. And Moses whinged and moaned and said, I can't do this, I can't do that, how can I do this? And I'm amazed that he actually got away with all his whinging and moaning to God. But of course, God did actually use him in the end. But, he had to hear what God was saying, which he did hear. But then he had to believe at what God was saying, but he didn't. He didn't think that he was qualified enough. He didn't think that he could do what God was asking him to do. But if God is asking us to do anything, he's going to provide the wherewithal for us to be able to do it. I mean, when God called us to Uganda, we were just John and Sue in New Life Church. We were nothing. We had no position. We were absolutely nothing. And God called us to go, and it was like, I mean, I was not allowed to preach in church at that time. I was not allowed to lead worship.
In fact, she was told quite clearly by the pastor, you will never lead worship or preach in this church as long as I'm pastor.
So God changed the pastorship, and we became pastors, so then it was okay, I could speak. But when we went to Uganda, I got asked to speak at a conference the following year, and I spoke to hundreds of people. You know, it's God is really funny, but he, you know, when he calls us to do something, he equips us to do it, and you know, he wants us to know that he is with us. He is not going to leave us or forsake us. And another verse that God keeps giving to me is in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12, and it says, "And now Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good." What are we doing with the word of God? Are we hearing it? Are we hearing from God? Are we listening to what he's saying? Are we able then to step out believing what he's telling us to do? Are we going to be obedient to that word? He has given us rules and regulations for our own good. He gives us ways of doing things for our own good because he knows the very best way. You know, we might think, oh yeah, I can do that. But we need to do it God's way. We need to be trusting in him to lead us and to guide us. When they came to the Red Sea, you know, the children of Israel, Moses in front, and the Egyptians were chasing them behind, and they were frightened, they were terrified. They saw the sea in front of them and the Egyptians behind them. Help, what are we going to do? Why have you brought us out here? They were a whinging lot. I think, you know, perhaps the children of Israel were, in general, great whingers. We don't want to be whingers, all right, because it cost Moses his inheritance. We don't want to be whingers. We want to listen to what the word of God says, and we want to accept what God is saying, believing in him, because he has the very best for us. So it says, "And now you, CLC Rossomwai, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God and to walk in obedience, to love him with all your being?" That's what God asks us to do. Amen. You know, when they were through walking into the wilderness, and it came to a place where Moses sent some spies out to see what the land was like. And they came back, and 10 of them said, "Oh, no way, big people, big cities, big walls, can't do it." 2 of them looked with the eyes of faith, because God had already told them, "I'm taking you to a promised land." So that was God's plan, to take them to the promised land. But 10 of them didn't believe that. 2 of them, Joshua and Caleb, they believed the word of God. And they said, no, we can take it. Of course we can take it, because God is with us. But the people decided, no, we're going to listen to this lot. We don't want to go. And so God said, okay, in that case, you're going to wander in the desert. And then they said, oh, no, we'll go. And Moses said, well, you can't change your mind now and say that we'll go, because you've already told God you weren't going to go. And so if you try and go now, you're going to get defeated. And, of course, they did. We have to be a people who are at one with God, that we listen to his voice, that we obey what he is telling us to do, because he loves each one of us. You know, he's not going to ask us to do anything that is going to be harmful to us. He wants us to be his people doing the things that he wants us to do, and he will look after us. I was thinking of Jonah. You know, Jonah was accredited as a prophet. There's some reference in 2 Kings somewhere that says that he was a prophet. So he was recognized as a prophet, which meant that he was recognized as someone who could hear God's voice. And he could. He could clearly listen and hear God's voice, because he knew when God told him to go to Nineveh, he knew what his God was like. He knew the character of his God, and he knew what his God would do. And so he decided, I don't want this. It's not fair. Nineveh is a wicked city, so I'm not going to go there. And he went the other way. So he disobeyed the word of God that he had clearly heard, because he also clearly knew the character of God. Because when eventually he did come back and did go to Nineveh, exactly what he said God would do happened. God forgave them because they repented. Jonah knew the word of God. He heard the word of God, but he was disobedient and ended up in the whale, which was not much fun, I guess. But even afterwards, after he'd gone back to Nineveh and they had repented and that they had been saved by God, he was not happy, because he thought it wasn't fair. Well, in a sense, yes, okay, but who are we to judge? Who are we to decide what God says is not right? You know, we have to listen to God. We have to take note of what God says. We have to say, no, this is what God is saying, so this is what we're going to do, because we've got to be a people who trust that what God says to us is for our own good, because he loves us. He doesn't want to see us falling away. He wants to see us doing everything that he's called us to do. And, you know, when he gives us clear directions, I mean, he gave Moses clear directions about building the tabernacle. Every little detail that Moses had to organize to make sure that the tabernacle was done according to God's plan. And when God gives us words, when he gives us directions, it is because they are the ones that he wants us to follow. So, it's okay. I'm sorry we bored you. Bye.
No problem.
You know, so we have to be a people that listen and hear the word of God and then be willing to put it into practice, to obey, to do what God has asked us to do, because what he's asking us to do is for our own good and for his kingdom. And we are not the ones to disagree with God, I hope. And so that is what God is asking us to do. And that's what we find over there, that we need to hear God's voice. We need to be listening to it. We need to know what God is asking us to do. I mean, some of the places that we've ended up preaching is through almost like, what did I say, chance encounters. Of course, they're not by chance, because God has engineered them. You know, we met someone who came from Tororo, which is right in the east of Uganda. But he came and he was working in Kalangala, where we were on the island. And it seemed such a long way away from his home that he was working there. But through getting to know him, finding out he was part of a church there, we got invited to Tororo to go and speak. And we've been several times since. Another person that we met there who had come from the north of Uganda in Nebbi, and he was working with the marine police. And we got to know him from traveling on the boat, and we got invited to Nebbi to go and speak. Now, these places are miles away from where we are. We live on an island, and it takes us 3 hours to cross to the mainland. It takes us an hour to get up to Kampala. And then Tororo is like 5 hours that way, and Nebbi is about 5 hours that way.
Seven.
Or seven, yes. You know, it takes us a whole day or two to get to these places. And then we have a 2 or 3 day conference, and then we have the same journey back again. So it's a lot of traveling, a lot of distance to cover. But if God wants us to go to little places that big preachers won't go to, then we will do the work for the Lord in the little places. You know, wherever God calls us, we'll go. Sometimes we speak to sort of 6 or 7 people. Sometimes it's a couple of hundred. It's whatever. Wherever God takes us, that's where we'll go. And we will do his work because he has called us there.
Then you could talk all day. praise God. Now, it really is good what God has done. I mean, when God spoke to Isaiah and he said, "Who shall I send? Send me." For every one of us who comes to these meetings, I mean, I come along to a church gathering to have an encounter with God, to meet with the Holy Spirit, for something to change, for there to be a divine exchange. You know, for too long, Jesus had it. He had thousands of followers and few disciples. Matthew 28:19, go into the world and make disciples. Our churches should be full of disciples, but yet it's full of followers, people who want to come and sit and just enjoy. There's nothing wrong with that. But where are the disciples? Are we making disciples? Are we raising up the people who are listening to the voice of God? Because he transforms your life. He turns things around. He enables you to do things beyond your natural ability. He takes you out of your comfort zone. He empowers you to move in the supernatural. Now, that's the promise of the Word of God. You see, when they went and spied out the land, 10 came back and went, "No chance." They didn't listen to God. They hadn't got their eyes fixed on God. They looked on circumstance. And quite a lot of our churches, we just look at circumstance. We don't look in the supernatural. It's the ones with faith, the ones who catch the vision. You know, churches, we should be moving in power. Brothers and sisters, we should be moving in power. If the fullness of the Godhead was in Jesus and Jesus is living in you. Jesus was the Lion of Judah. He roars. You know, we were saying, yeah, he's the shepherd, we are the sheep. That's one picture. But I'm sick of walking into churches full of sheep. Meh, meh, because sheep do not change the atmosphere. A sheep walks into a village, who cares? A lion walks into a village, everybody knows. We need to be lions. We need to take on the spirit that changes the atmosphere. If we are disciples, which is what we are called to be a disciple. A disciple trains and becomes like the master. Well, are we like Jesus? Are we quite happy just sitting here and singing a few songs and, well, that was nice, and go home and forget about it all? Or are we going to be commissioned to do what God has called us to do? It doesn't matter. It can be in the door. with your neighbours. It could be in the supermarket where God says, do this, speak to this person, or give a gift to so-and-so. Anything, it's simple. But we need to have this boldness to step out and not sit back and expect somebody else to do it. Because God is speaking to all of us. God wants us all to be workers in his kingdom. You see, if we are serving God, we need to do something to serve him. Not expect to be served by him. God doesn't serve us. Jesus doesn't serve us. He blesses us. He loves us. He cares for us. He saved us. He saved us, and his Holy Spirit is equipping us. Why is he equipping us? So we can have a nice cup of coffee together? I don't think so. He's equipping us for good works. If we are not doing the good works, God's wasting his time. And God doesn't want to waste his time. We are too important because Jesus paid the price. Jesus gave everything for us. Are we holding back from him? Are we holding back thinking about, oh, what will people think about me? It doesn't matter what people think about you. It's what God thinks about you. Because he's called, he's chosen you. He's the one that sent his Holy Spirit to fill you, to equip you, to empower you, so that you can become lions. Roar! Sometimes we need to roar. Not meh, meh. I'm sick and tired of hearing bleating. Gosh, we've got politicians that bleat all the time. We've got churches that bleat all the time. Nobody is standing up for what's right. What we need is godly government in this land. We've had worldly government. We're putting in the world's values. We've taken God out of parliament. We've taken God out of our schools, and we've put the world in. And look what a mess it's in. And it's getting worse. Why? Because the people of God are not standing up and being who they've been called to be. Because we have been created for such a time as this. We are better than this. And you say, if we stand there on the sidelines and go, oh, okay, it's happening. What are you going to do about it? Who shall I send? Send me. Now, if you're prepared, God will put his hand upon you. He will equip you, and you can make a change. I would have never believed it. The things that we've seen, the things that God has done in our lives, not because of who we are, but because we have a total dependence on him. He's equipped us. He's provided for us in every way. And why did he choose us? Because we simply said, here we are. He sent us to Africa and said, go and look. We went and looked. He transformed our lives. And he's still changing us. He's still working with us. He's still equipping us. He's still empowering us. He's still teaching us. He's still expanding us and stretching us. And it doesn't get easier. It does not get easier. But he gives you the skill to go to the next level, to the next level, to the next level. And it's just like, I just got a picture of going to karate classes and starting off, learning the basics, and then you go through your belts. So you go through your yellow belt, your green belt, and you get up to your black belt. Then you go for your dans, and God just brings you to another level. And it's not that you might show off, but it's that you might know that he is such a loving father, such a caring God, such a wonderful person to get to know. And he talks to you. He whispers to you. He puts his arm around you when you need it. He assures you all the time. He says, come and test me. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, for you to do that, you've got to step out of your comfort zone. You've got to step into his realm and trust him. And I tell you, if you do, it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
One of the characters in the Old Testament who heard the voice of God and stepped out of his comfort zone was Elijah. We read about him in 1 Kings 17. We have no previous information about him, but he suddenly appears and goes to King Ahab and says that as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. What a bold statement. He had to have heard the voice of God. He had to have known what God was saying to be able to put out a statement like that. He says that neither dew nor rain for the next few years except at my word. He was walking in power. He knew his God and he heard the voice of God and he delivered it, even though that could have been a very dangerous thing for him to do, to go to the king and say that. But then God has a plan. He takes Elijah and sends him to a brook where he can get water, and he sends the ravens to feed him. And then when the water dries up, God sends him to Zarephath, to a lady, and she provides for him. She was going to make, where does it say here? As surely as the Lord lives, she says, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil. I'm gathering a few sticks so that I may make a meal for myself and my son, and we will eat and die. And Elijah said to her, don't fear. Make a small loaf of bread for me first and then for your sons, because the Lord God says the jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain. God provided for this woman and her family, and also for Elijah. He had to have complete faith and trust in God, that God was going to look after him during this time when there was going to be no rain. And he heard the voice of God, and he believed the voice of God, and he saw God do a mighty miracle. We need to be people of power, people of determination, people who trust the voice of God, people who are prepared to walk in everything that God lays out for them. Because God will not ask you to do something that he does not equip you for or look after you in the process. We know, you know, so many times God has just been there for us and answered prayers for us, because life is not always easy in Uganda. But we know that God is with us. We know that he has sent us. We know that he has equipped us. We know that he is with us all the time. And we do not have to fear. We don't have to fear anything. Whatever happens, we know that God will provide a way, because he is, as we sang this morning, our way maker and our promise keeper and our light in the darkness. And that is the truth of the word of God. And that's what we need to hold on to, believing, walking in, because God is with us.